As always, I want to try to learn something together that's not going to be something that's just abstract, and it's also not something that's going to be just like a boring halach or something, you know? Try to do something that's going to be meaningful. And in this week's parsha, you have something that's very meaningful because you have a reference to Krishna. Krishna is obviously one of the most important things that we do every day. And I don't think it gets the best press. Not that it's getting bad press, but just doesn't get any press. Krishna is something that we're so accustomed to from our youth that it's something that, in a positive sense, it's a good thing. Certain things should roll off our tongue. But at the same time, as the Nesilas Hasharim points out, right, Baruch, what does Nesilas Hasharim say?
About
things that are the most important. Get the least press, and we tend to forget about them.
Isn't it sensational? Yeah. I mean, no, it's the opposite. People who are, you know, to people die, there's Hashem. They say Shema Yisrael, isn't that?
Yeah.
What do you mean bad press? It doesn't get bad press.
It's just that I don't know how much we think about it. It's obviously something that we need to have kavana for. One of the two things the whole day. That's about it. So the question is, how are we doing?
And I was learning about Krishna now, so...
I did Amud Aleph, I did Amud Beis, but I mentioned already Krishna in today's daf. I'm working on it. Let me just borrow. Brachas is easy enough, right?
Really?
So I'm cruising along. It only takes me a few minutes tonight, not too bad.
It's easier than Shabbos and Arabic.
That's for sure. Brachas, thank you.
But this is shrink, because the beginning of Amud Beis, that I just said to you before, which should be a lesson for all of us, says straight out in there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks into Shul and there aren't 10 there, he gets very angry.
Sorry, yeah, one other thing, he's waiting for him. That's it.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, where do you find Krishna in this week's parsha? Where do you find it in this week's parsha? So it doesn't appear in the psukim of this week's parsha at all. That's right. So the way that we're going to get into it is straight up in Chazal. It's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah in Psachim. The Mishnah in Psachim says there were six things that people that lived in Yericho used to do. Three of them, there was some protest about, and three of them there was no protest about. Apparently this one there was not protest about. They did something very different, and apparently it wasn't a big deal. And that's one of the three things, is that they were Kirech HaShema. So we don't know exactly what it means. And the Gemara as a whole has a few different options what exactly it means. But the last one on the list, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mafsikin Hayu. They made the proper breaks in different parts. Like you can imagine, if you're saying things in Shema, you could run from one sentence into another and it may sound differently, that we have periods and pauses where they are for a reason. So they did all that appropriately according to Rabbi Yehuda, but you know what they didn't do? El Shalo Hayu Oimrim Baruch Shem Kuvayd Malchuso Le'elam Vuet. Now, they didn't say Baruch Shem. You're like, well, it saves a few seconds, right? But what is that all about? So let's start from scratch for a minute. Let's take a little vote over here. Who thinks that it makes sense to say Baruch Shem Kvam Mechusel Mavuet in Krishna? No one, right? No one, right? Because it's not in Krishna. You know, like if you... We really should backtrack a lot to really have this conversation right. Because the Torah has this thing called Shema.
Is it the Malachim HaTzeiyu?
So we'll slowly, yeah? One thing at a time. Well, if I would ask you, is there a mitzvah of Shema? So you would say, yeah, because I've grown up with it. There's a mitzvah of Shema. How do you know? How do you know it's supposed to say Shema?
Because it says in the Torah.
What does it say? What does it say? So what is Uvidibarta Bam? So instead of a dibarta bam, I don't know, probably, let's be honest, yeah? If you're learning the parsha over there, which is the parsha of Shema, vidibarta bam probably just means Torah. No, pashup shat. Probably just means that you're supposed to learn. You're supposed to speak the words of Torah all the time.
It's not clear. It's not clear. It's Shema.
Not clear at all. It's referring specifically to this parsha. But it does say, So maybe it's specifically these words. Okay, so we'll go with Eli on this one. It's specifically Dvarim Ha'ela, which means you'd expect it to be limited to Dvarim Ha'ela. In general, you're allowed to just add things to mitzvahs if you want to. Not allowed to do that, yeah? Not allowed to add to mitzvahs, right?
Not allowed to add to mitzvahs, you can enhance them.
You can beautify them. But if it says Vayu HaDvarim Ha'ela, you would expect that adding words to Dvarim Ha'ela is probably a big no-no. In general, it's a no-no because you're not allowed to add the mitzvahs. But in particular, if you're talking about Kriya Shema, and we're not going to say V'dibarta Ba means learn Torah. We're going to say V'dibarta Ba means Dvarim Ha'ela. So Dvarim Ha'ela means these words. So of course you're not allowed to add anything.
Which words?
Let's say Baruch Shem Fad Mechusel Yelam Vod. It doesn't appear there. It says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'haftas Hashem Elokeinu. That's what it says. It doesn't say. That's not a pasuk in the Torah. Baruch Shem Fad Mechusel, right?
Breaking it up.
What's going on over here? Not over there anyway. So I'm on board with Anshei Yericho. How about you? No?
They shouldn't do that.
Yeah, this is the really how you have to learn Gemara, right?
Seems like the Chacham were on board with it because they didn't protest it either.
Exactly, right? So when you see this Mishnah, again, a Mishnah never says anything obvious. How do you know a Mishnah never says anything obvious? Because if it says something obvious, it says Pshita, which means that it can never say anything obvious. Otherwise, the Gemara would say Pshita, and you have an answer for every Pshita. What?
It tells you why it's not.
Right. So every Mishnah has to be a Chiddush. There's no such thing as a Mishnah saying something obvious. So when the Mishnah tells us that they were Kerech al Shema, so apparently this is a pretty big Chiddush, and it wasn't what anyone else did. So everybody was saying Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Le'olam Bu'et. And that's, of course, the Kasha of the Gemara. The Anan, us, my time Amrinan Le'. So Taka, why do we say it? Doesn't make sense. Based on all the arguments we just made, sounds like it's really a wrong thing to do. The Gemara answers, Kedidarish Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, right? Reish Lakish. Don't Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Vayikra Yaakov El Banov. That's this week's parasha. Yaakov called to his sons, Vayomer, Hey Asfu. He doesn't say come close, he doesn't say just start talking. He says, Hey Asfu. What does Hey Asfu mean? Gather together. So it's interesting that he has to say gather together because it sounds like it's more than just come sit down. Gather together sounds like there's something that's a greater stress on unity for what I'm about to tell you than just here, come sit down, let's talk. Hey, Asfu, come together. Vagid alachem, and I will tell you what? What does it say in the pasuk?
Oh, really? Okay. Is it?
So the Gemara says.
The end of time. I thought it was the end of time.
Bikesh Yaakov Liglais Livanov. Kate, Hayomin.
Right, the end of the days. That's the
Yaakov wanted to reveal to his sons the end of. So I did not notice this until today, but Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zechatzadik Zebracha, whom this shir is based on, see, he pointed this out, and Rashi pointed out too. It doesn't say Kate Hayomim. It's Kate Hayomin.
Interesting. Yomim is days. Yomin is right.
Yeah. So Kate Hayomin, Rashi on the spot. Rashi points out that Keita Yamin, somewhere over here, She Yachazir Yaminoi Lefanov, he's going to return his right hand in front of him. She Heshiv Achor Yamino Mipnei Oyev, because he had sent his right hand behind him because of the enemy. That's a pasuk in Eicha. Heshiv Yamino Achor. So the Keita Yamin, interestingly enough, means the end of the holding back of his chesed. Of his right hand. Never noticed that nuance before. Okay.
So the right hand is dead, no?
Right hand is chesed, right? So it's the end of the holding back of the chesed. Yeah?
He'll continue to give chesed. He won't hold it back anymore.
It had been held back because of galus, and now it'll be revealed. It'll be returned to its proper place. So that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to reveal to his children the end of the Keitz HaYamin, the end of the holding back of the right hand. Ministalka mimena shechina, and the shechina was removed from him. So he couldn't do it anymore. Or either he couldn't or it was a sign that he shouldn't. Yeah? Amar Shema Chas Hashalom Yesh B'mitasi P'sul. So what was his reaction to that?
This was an ongoing theme with Yaakov, right? Was it his God?
It's not meant to be told.
So what's the cause? Maybe we would have said it's not meant to be told at all, right? Just, I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah, wasn't he confused that he didn't...
Well, his response is that maybe, chas v'shalom, there's a psul in my bed. Interesting word. It could have said in my children. It could have said in my children, but the language of Chazal is in my bed. The Chazal also say that Yaakov's mitaso shleimo. So Pashat, it's a reference to that idea that Yaakov, all of his children were Jews. That was a chiddush, yeah? He was the first one that was true. Until then, there was Zera Avraham and someone that went off the derech and ceased to be defined. But here you find Bnei Yisrael. So this is the first time mitaso shleima, his bed is complete, meaning all his children are Jews. So probably it's a reference to that. Chas v'shalom, there's a psul in my bed, in my children. That was his reaction. It's interesting that that should be what he's thinking. Like Nasan Moshe said, maybe he's just not supposed to say that, you know?
Because it's not like that. It's like that. Everything is based on right. If you're right or not right. That's the bottom line.
Okay. That's a step in the direction, for sure.
Isn't this stuff a Shina?
It says, yeah.
No, that's the point. Because Yaakov was under the impression, as long as he had a Shina, he would be doing well.
Yeah, but why is he associating that? No, apparently the Shekhinah was there before. And all of a sudden...
He was ready to... So now they all gathered together.
Yeah.
And it disappeared. Well, it was here before they all gathered together.
Right.
So obviously something's coming close.
It sounds like the Heasfu, the gathering together of the Shvatim...
Is
what should create it.
But it possibly is.
And
that's
possibly,
why he,
that's the
why,
opposite of what should be happening.
Right, so see, it's why he thinks it's something in his mitzvah.
Right. So then he gives the Gemara, goes on to go, okay, I like Avram Avinu, he had a psul because of Yishmael, Yitzchak had Esav. So you know what happened? Amrulai Banav. So his son said to him, Shema Yisrael. Now the Achorinim asked how they could call their father by his name. We'll skip that. But they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Which we're going to interpret a little bit differently than we normally would. How would we interpret it when we say it? That Hashem, who is our Lord, Hashem is one. Now we have to understand what that means. One, meaning one is not two. Like, what does one really mean when we say one in Shema? There is nothing else.
There's
no other powers of the world. So that. But what they say is Amru Kishem She'ein Belib B'cha Ela Echad. Just like in your heart, there's only one. There's just Hashem and nothing else. No other values. Nothing else. Kach Ein Belibenu Ela Echad. So do by us. It's the same thing. So that's what they were saying to him when they said Shema Yisrael Hashem. They were not saying what we would say when we would say Shema, right? What do we don't mean that, right? We mean that Hashem is one.
Period.
We're not talking to Yaakov Avinu, right? Yeah, so we're used to thinking the Malachim, that's a Medrash also. But the Gemara says that's what Yaakov Avinu said to his children.
In response to
their saying, no, we're on board. Just like in your heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Not his mind, in his heart. So too, in your heart, just our heart too, it's Hashem is one. So he said, Baruch Shem Kvod Muchos Elam Vued. Just off the cuff, why would that be an appropriate response?
Blessed is his name. Well, again, we're talking about God. Well, so.
In the context that we're speaking, if they're saying to him, just like in
he
your heart
Shema,
one,
so
our heart one,
Shema Yisrael, and then they said, Baruch Shem, Malchus, blesses the name of his kingdom, forever.
So I'm saying, why is that apropos for the moment? What would you say? Just
because
off
they're
the
talking code? About, because obviously there was a cause for his Shema to be lost.
Yeah, so what is Baruch Shem? How's that? What's
it's
he
like
saying?
It's like a Gamzul Tehel. I'm saying this is what... He
goes one of the Gamzul Tehel.
He's grateful. He's saying he's acknowledging. They're answering him.
Whatever it is.
So why is that the response? What's it about
what
Baruch?
What should the response have been? Amen?
He says he doesn't say anything. I don't know. Why is this the response?
Why? When you say Shema Yisrael.
So Baruch Shem means that blessed or... felt in the world should be the name of Hashem and his Malchus forever. So
you see, where's the Malchus represented in Shema Yisrael?
Sounds like something's going on where he said, oh, so either we need more of it or it should continue in this way, or it's obviously a reference to whatever. So we'll have to talk about that a little bit too.
Now, wasn't the Esav's mouth supposed to say Baruch Shem? Was that what he wanted to go up for?
What?
Is that when he went up for, remember he left Yaakov when the Malachim?
So there's another job by Malachim, but that the Gemara doesn't mention. Not, this is something else.
No, the concept is Baruch Shem came before this. That's what I want to know. If Baruch Shem was a concept
according
before,
to that approach, it was Moshe Rabbeinu who got it from Malachim, so that would be later. So the Gemara finishes like this. Like this. Hey Chinavi. So what should we do? What should we do? Nemru. We would like to say it. Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. It's not part of the Torah. Dvar Meileh. Loi Nemru. Not say it. Amru Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu said it. So that's why what do? We say it, but we don't say it. Right? What do? We say it in a whisper. And then Gemara has a funny mashal for that. It's like a princess. And I don't know how many of you know what princesses. Some of them may be married to them. But, you know, if you know any, so you know that they're very proper. And everything has to be done just right. And so the princess knows that at dinner time she comes and there's etiquette. There's no such thing as a princess snacking. It doesn't work like that, you know? It's not, it's uncouth. So, problem is it smells so good and there's still an hour till dinner. So she has a trusty servant. And a trusty servant sees that her mouth is watering. So a trusty servant sneaks into the kitchen, grabs a piece and brings it to the princess, you know, in the privacy of her room. She's able to, you know, to snack. That's called Baruch Shem Moves Along the Way. So it's a funny mashal.
Do it without saying, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so funny mashal. We'll put that aside for now and just focus on this. So the question we asked was, what's going on with Baruch Shem Kvod Muchasalim Lam Voed? The Anshei Richa didn't say it. We would have argued, they're right. The rule of Klal Yisrael says it. And Chachamim said, okay, I can't criticize Anshei Richa, but at the same time, we do say it. Why do we say it? What's the answer to that question?
So analyzing why they said it after the fact that they said it.
Wait, our Shema is different than that Shema.
Why don't we hold the Anshei Richa? It sounds more correct. So why do we say it?
We don't really say it. We say quietly.
But we do, right? We say quietly.
Obviously strong enough that you're saying it, you know.
Because we're willing to rely on that one.
Right. So, because it not rely on him, because it's not like his sheet of Krishna, but we wanna say it because how could we not? Yaakov Avinu said it. You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Is that the main reason why?
What does that do with Krishna? So what did Yaakov Avinu said it, right? What? Is that a good answer?
I want Yaakov Avinu.
Is your question on Shema altogether? Why was your
let's start
Shema
over.
Or the question
so
just
on there's
Yaakov
a mitzvah
right
of Kriya Shema. We got it because it says Dvarim Ha'ela. We got it. So he said Divarta Bam. There's a mitzvah to say the words of Kriya Shema. But how could we not do what Yaakov did? What does Yaakov have to do with Krishna? It's a nice thing that happened one time. We could tell it over at our Shabbos table. We can share this. Maybe I'll say it as a drasha sometime. But what does it have to do with Krishna that we're saying? Why can't, does that make sense? I can't not say it because Yaakov Avinu. Very nice, but let's do mitzvahs and we'll talk about your issues later.
So where did Moshe get it from? Moshe out of
Yaakov. No, Malachim, I
thought you Moshe Avinu didn't say it. It's not in that parsha.
Moshe Rabbeinu got Shema Yisrael from the Shvatim. The Shvatim has been passed down now but to, from generation from the Shvatim all the way to Moshe. Right,
you're asking a good question. You want to know. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you didn't say it. Are you Yotzei Daraisa?
I'm sorry?
If you didn't say Baruch Shem, are you Yotzei Daraisa?
Yes.
Okay. It's not necessary for Kriya Shema. When did people start saying Baruch Shem? Anshei Richa didn't say it. I can't tell you historically when the whole world started saying Baruch Shem.
People said it before Anshei Richa.
How do you know?
Because Moshe came down. Well,
that's a different message. That's the different message altogether. Gemara doesn't even mention that. Gemara doesn't mention
it. So that's not when you started saying it?
I'm saying I can't tell you with any certainty when that began.
Maybe
so that's the question. So we don't want to take all night with this. What's the answer? I think this is the answer. Yeah? Did everyone have enough?
Party just got restarted.
It'd be like Purim.
Very underrated bottle.
The Rambam, when he talks about the halachas of Kriya Shema, so he says something very interesting. He says, according to Kriya Shema, when you finish the first pasuk, you whisper Baruch Shem Kvod Muchasalim. I mean, he paskins this like that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, he doesn't say it's a mitzvah. He doesn't say you have to, but he says that's what you do. And then you go in the normal way. Why do we do that? And he talks about this Gemara. We have a tradition. Shebeshasha kibetz Yaakovinu as ban of the Mitzrayim b'shas mitasu misasa. When Yaakovinu was going to die, tivam v'zirzam al yichud Hashem. A little different than the Gemara. He commanded them and he excited them. He got them all enthusiastic about the unity of Hashem. Well, derech Hashem shehalach v'avram v'yitzak aviv. But the pathway of Hashem that his forefathers went on. V'shalosam v'amalahem v'anai. And he asked them, Shema yesh b'chem psoilas. Misha ena oimed imi b'yichur Hashem. Is any of you that doesn't agree with all of this? A little different than the Gemara. The Shekhinah left him. Rambam just says, this is the Rambam. Rambam makes it sound like he was giving them a presentation about how important it is. And he said, you know, are we on board? Are you okay with all of this? Then the Rambam adds something. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu did this too. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, there's a whole parsha called Parshas Nitzavim. Anybody here know Parshas Nitzavim? A Bar Mitzvah parsha?
What is it? It's Makil's
book. That's a lucky Bar Mitzvah.
So, Pen Yesh Bachem.
Yeah, but he's leaning a bunch now. Right? He's doing this week too, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to. Yeah,
I never forget a sushi kiddush. Never.
Okay, now we know you remember. Pen Yesh Bachem. We got to test you on all of them. Pen Yesh Bachem Isha Isha. Mishpacho Shevet. You guys remember this? Sound familiar a little bit? Anyway, bottom line is Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. When he was going to leave the world, it says, this is what's so important. Maybe some of you guys think otherwise. Just like Yaakov Avinu did the same thing. So they say back to him, Shema Yisrael Shem HaKen HaShem HaChad. So that's how, L'fichach nagu kol Yisrael lomar, Shvach sheshavach po Yisrael hazaken. So I have a question for you.
Now you have a question together.
What?
Why did Yerusha say it?
I still don't understand why we're saying it.
Because he said to say,
but the question remains, why does that have to do with Shema? It's a nice idea, it's a beautiful idea, but why does it, how did it get integrated into Shema?
So it depends on how you look at Tefillah. Right? If you're looking at Tefillah, that there's a specific set of keys and kavanos that you have together and it opens up.
Advarim ha'eila, bal toisif.
It's not bal toisif, you have again. You have this anti-chassidic stand, I understand, but...
So say better. Say better. When it says, "Var you Hadvarim Ha'ilah," how do you know when Hadvarim Ha'ilah even begins? You know?
Does it start by Shema? Does it start by
Ha'ilah? Yeah. And let me ask you a question. Listen to this. Let's all get together for a minute and think about, we're making a new rule, which is our shul, we're making a new law, new halacha, we'll start over, yeah? And I here's the idea. When did I just do this recently? My wife was asking me, there's this new thing called Nach Yomi. Yeah, Nachiyomi. Not new, it's old. But they're advertising it for specifically for women. There's a whole new thing for women. So I wanted to know, like, what do you think about it? You know, and I said, in general, whenever I'm thinking about anything, first we have to figure out what's the goal. Then when you figure out what the goal is, you figure out the pathway to get there. Yeah. There's everything in life. So what is the goal? That's a very interesting question. So that was our conversation between my wife and myself, over ice cream or coffee, whatever, was... our date, you know, once a week. And what is the goal for women? For women's learning, for women's avodas Hashem. What are the goals and what are we doing to get there? And we realized that there are a few things that might be goals that we're not really even working on. But in any case, in our situation, what's the goal of the first pasuk in Kriya Shema?
Recognizing Hashem's oneness.
What would you say is the best way to do that?
Declaring God as one.
Okay, so we're going to declare it. Let's say that's a good idea. I'm with you. Let's start with that. Give me some words.
One. God is one.
God is one.
But we have a pasuk that describes it.
What words?
When do we use a pasuk?
What words in this pasuk are not necessary for our declaration of Yichud Hashem?
Shema.
What in the world are we saying, Shema Yisrael? Let me ask you a question. Okay, we're getting there. What happens if you don't have a minion? There's no one else. I mean, two people. No one else to talk by yourself in the airport, and it's time for Shema. Do you say Shema Yisrael if there's no one to hear you? What? But if they're not Jews? Shema Yisrael? You gotta say another Jew, no? Doesn't Shema Yisrael mean you're talking to another Jew? What if there are no Jews, then what? You don't say Kriya Shema?
I think of it, honestly, in a spiritual sense, when I'm saying Shema, I do think that I'm saying to Kli Yisrael here that it's one. I think of it in a spiritual sense that my words are reverberating.
Okay.
Spiritual.
That's one possibility.
But there's another possibility, which may be, say better. Right. The other way to look at it is that integrated, and this, if you say this pshat, as Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if you say this pshat, then you do get the Gemara. If integrated into Shema is not just that we're saying to Klal Yisrael, but we're actually speaking to Yaakov Avinu, what it means is that the way our Kriya Shema is structured is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu told us by the words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, not just Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which could have been our declaration, everyone would have been fine with that. Leave out the word Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael means that the way in which we declare it harks back to that moment between Yaakov and his son.
So the whole reason why they said that is because to confirm his doubt of why he lost the Siyata of the Shemaya, that there is
okay.
No.
You're already jumping to the next step. I'm with you. Hold on. Let's just get this down. So let's assume for a minute that the Torah is telling us that the way we're supposed to say Shema is not just a declaration, but it's a declaration being back in the moment. So now, how could we not say, finish the sentence, what Yaakov Avinu said in response? Yeah? What Yaakov said in response. If that's the whole point of Shema Yisrael, wow, that's a big chiddush, right? That's a big chiddush on how to learn the word Shema Yisrael.
The Malachim thing actually makes more sense to me.
Really?
Yeah.
So, explain.
Because it's kind of like you're stating it and they're saying it. But they can't say it, so you're saying.
Okay, that's interesting. So this Gemara is saying that if and that's the assumption, the presumption of this Gemara, which is the Chiddush, that's no more Chiddush so far. Thank you, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. That if the presumption of the Gemara is that that's built into Kriya Shema, so now we understand where the Gemara was
that's
coming.
The mitzvah
from.
The Torah talking about is to say this and direct it to Yaakov.
Yeah. No. That's why we say Shema Yisrael.
That's the mitzvah of Torah.
If you don't,
the word Yotze, Shema Yisrael, not Hashem.
Because the tachlis of the mitzvah is the Yichud Hashem. We still Yotze without it. But the way in which the Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted us to do it was by putting ourselves back into the moment of saying Shema Yisrael. So that's how the Gemara can ask. How could we not say what he said back to them?
So we're being accused at that point. Basically, we have to put ourselves saying that we're being accused of not being Mamlech Hashem. Right? That's what Yaakov was saying to the sons. Somebody here is not agreeing with me. And they respond, Shema Yisrael Hashem.
Okay.
So we put ourselves in that position and basically say, look,
we're
now fully accepting all
I hear what you're saying. I'll say something a little bit different, but I hear what you're saying.
Why do you say it quietly?
Because it isn't actually in Chumash.
But then why didn't Yerichah say it?
Why should they say it?
If you're saying that the whole shot is
good. So if I've convinced you that much, then we're good on track. And that's why they were the only ones that didn't. Right? Now, we flipped, with Baruch Hashem, we flipped it so much that now we don't understand what we took for granted. What?
Why do you say that loud?
That is only because of the Malach.
It's a pretty weird mitzvah coming out. What are you saying?
Why?
Because we're supposed to be like
okay, so let's develop that. Let's develop that a little bit more. I don't want it to take too long, but let's develop it a little bit more.
Was Avraham Avinu Kindness Mitzvah? Avraham Avinu Kindness Mitzvah?
Yeah, but he doesn't have to do it the same way. So any mitzvah, anything by Avraham Avinu that he kept, he had to accomplish the tachlis of it, but not in the same surah. But the surah that we're supposed to do it in.
Anything that is sukkah, matzah, pick a mitzvah, they're all, it's putting you back in the spot so you can reestablish it, bring down all those hashkosos as well.
Okay, so this is taking a long time. Let's try to wrap it up a little bit. In the moment, hey asfu, vagid alechem, is that Klal Yisrael are getting together. Klal Yisrael getting together and becoming one is what creates one. Klal Yisrael, which inherently are one, because we have one neshama, we're just expressions of one neshama. When Klal Yisrael's separate bodies get together as one, then they're bringing all the oneness together.
Whenever that happens.
Here's Heyas V'Vagid Alechem. That when Klal Yisrael are gathering together, we're going to gather, sit down, you should have told them, let's gather together. Meaning he means, bring your minds together, become together, understand, as Yosef has helped you to accomplish, you are all brothers, we're all in this together. Heyas V'Vu. Then V'Agid Alechem, what's going to be, V'Acharis Hayomim, I can reveal to you the oneness, how do I know there's going to be oneness at the end of days? So at the end of days, there's going to be one. So if you can become one, you're really one anyway, but you're separate in this world. So make yourselves one in this world too. Then that is the expression of oneness. It's the expression of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It is, that leads to Acharis Hayamim. So if you're creating the Acharis Hayamim here, and by the way, we're end of Bereishis, last parsha in Bereishis. This is the end of Yaakovinu. This is the end of the Ma'aseh Avosim and Labanim. This is the end of the DNA of history. So at the end of the DNA of history, you have to have the end of history being present, right?
Yaakov's being terrible, saying that Klal Yisrael has to be ba'achdus.
Yeah. And once Klal Yisrael is Echad, then Hashem will be with them as Echad. That'll create the Acharis Hayamim.
And then you have Shem Havayah.
Yeah. And then, how could it be that I can't reveal to you? How could it be the Shekhinah is leaving? That is Hashros HaShekhinah. Right? That's what you were saying. That's the opposite of what's supposed to be happening with the Shvatim coming together. I can't not tell you that. This is the Acharis Hayamim. How come now Shekhinah's leaving? That's the expression of Shekhinah. Must be, you're not together. Must be, you're not one. If you're not one, then one can't be expressed. That's why he responded in that way. Must be, there's a psul, you not one. So they said to him, no, we are. And he says, Baruch Shem, and we want to relive that moment. So why did the Shekhinah leave him?
Because you need more than just people. You don't have
to tell you. We weren't in Siyasa, we weren't together.
No, they say we are. And that's what we say. And he says, Baruch Shem.
I mean,
so hard, they don't want
to. There's another reason that what I'm going to say. But one thing from what I'm going to say is, if it would have been revealed at that moment, what would happen in the end, right? Think about all of the generations that would have known, okay, well, Mashiach is not coming in our door.
Well, you always say, come early.
You know, yeah. Oh, they're going to be exiled for this many years.
You say, come early, you know. If you say come early, it doesn't mean it could come in 10 years, but if we're good and we're great people,
but
it could come earlier.
I think that actually has to be the exact opposite.
What? Well, 10 years, 2030.
How come that didn't bring you out?
Okay, fine. Yeah.
2030.
In a Harami, same question. So the Gemara never asks this. The Gemara never asks the obvious question. Well, then, what? Then why did the Shekhinah leave him? So we don't know. So I'm going to share with you what Rav Moshe Shapiro Zechazal Bracha suggested. In this week's parsha, you have a... I'm going to finish with this, so you know if you're tired, you want a drink, you know, Nazir Chan. In this week's parsha, you find Yaakov Avinu looking at everyone and seeing the future, and seeing Shoftim, and seeing Malachim, and seeing... Not Malachim, Milachim. It's in kings, seeing all the future of Klal Yisrael. Do you remember when he sees Shimshon? What Shevet is Shimshon from? It's from Dan. And there's a strangest thing in that pasuk. It talks about Dan is like a Nachash.
Right,
yeah,
the Nachash.
Yeah?
But he made it positive. Nachash was positive.
It's going to bite and the horse is going to like go backwards or something. And then all of a sudden in the middle, what does he say? Three words. Nishwascha, Kivisi, Hashem. It's like a non sequitur. It's like, Shaykhis, what just happened here? Did something happen? So Rashi, of course, fills in, yeah. Well, what happened to Shimshon?
Yeah.
What happened to Shimshon?
Shimshon
was
last.
He failed. I mean, he died. But then he was asking maybe for chizuk. He was asking for some sort of chizuk. There's a medrash on this. Unbelievable medrash. The medrash is in Breishis. Rava, on the pasuk. Ve'yipol rochava achor. And then it's a snake, bites the horse and makes the rider fall off backwards, yeah? It's a totally different interpretation. Yaksu Devarim Lacharehem. Yaakov Avinu backtracked on everything he was thinking. He's the rider. He's the rider who fell over backwards. Everywhere he was going and understanding Shimshon,
Yaakov.
Everything he saw in Shimshon fell backwards. Lefisha Haya Yaakov Avinu Royasai. Yaakov saw Shimshon. Vissavar Boshu Melech HaMashiach.
How is that possible?
He thought he was Melech HaMashiach.
What happened in Tanakh, right? His wife's not Jewish. He has a whole.
So a few Ramazim is that in the Pasuk itself, he keeps being called like, you know, like the Echad. Like the Echad. He's like the Echad. Everything Shimshon ever did was by himself as an Echad. He was never with other people. He never army.
He killed everyone.
Apparently, he's like... Echad, he has to express the Echad, and only someone that's Echad can express Echad. So you want another remez? Listen to this, Eli. Shimshon had a. It was from which David? From his father.
Dog.
And his mother, do you know?
Right.
It was from Yehuda. Mm-hmm. So he pointed out that the Mishkan was Bezalel and Eliyav. Bezalel, Yehuda, Eliyav, done. So wow, isn't that interesting? That you have the expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing Shekhinah into the world. Seems like that was happening in Shimshon, and he was physicality and able to create Ruchnias and spirit in Ruchnias and Gashmias and put them together. Anyway, that's what the Medrash says. Savar Shahu Melech Hamashiach came and Sharoi says Shemes saw that he died. Omar Af Zemes, he also dies. Lishuas Chakivis Yashem. So how do we understand Lishuas Chakivis Yashem according to this? I threw up my hands at this point, right? I the only thing I have to trust is no longer in what I see. I just have to have faith in a Kaddish Baruch Hu and hope to a Kaddish Baruch Hu because I cannot determine, see, have any sense of what Mashiach is or will be.
So Yaakov doesn't know.
That's why Shekhinah is gone.
That's why Shekhinah is gone. That what happened at the moment was that, it really goes back to what you were saying. That what happened at that moment was that he thought that with Echad and with Achdus, you can create Mashiach. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu is telling him it doesn't work that way. Mashiach can never be predicted. Mashiach can never be caused. Mashiach can't. It doesn't work that way.
Achdus isn't enough.
It's when a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants to bring Mashiach, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to bring Mashiach. And the only thing we can ever do is kivisi Hashem, is to be mekaveh, and that's what we're supposed to do.
B'chol yom achak Eloi. So what he's suggesting is not that he's going to reveal it. He didn't know in the case.
He had a sense, and no, he was told that that's not it. He had a sense, and he's told that's not it.
Part of the equation.
What?
When it good, whenever.
I'll stop it.
That doesn't. Those two things have nothing to do with each other. We don't keep Yiddishkeit because of Mashiach.
Okay.
Right?
It doesn't.
There are many people that don't like the song. We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait.
That's because they like Olam Hazeh.
No, it's because you can't demand it. Lisho Aschak Kivisi Hashem. It's not up to us. It's not like you can do mitzvahs and you can do kiruv and you can do this and bring Mashiach. You can't bring Mashiach. That's what it says.
So it can't come earlier.
Or it comes at the end.
It can't come earlier than when.
We need to do what we need to do. And if we've done enough, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu will bring Mashiach.
In that time.
That means
when a Kaddish Baruch Hu deems it appropriate.
That means we earned it, though. He's not going to bring it in.
So which lever do you need to pull?
So that's why you don't want to put the
mitzvah. We'll never know.
Okay, we'll never know. But at the end of the day, we have to earn it.
We have to do what we need to do.
So, Rabbi, that's why you want to put first case
machine.
That's it, because I'm Ashkenaz. Anyway, so just to finish, so Rav Moshe Shapiro is a chassadik libracha. So he said that's our avodah. That's where we're holding. What we're holding is the very tail end of all of this Yemos HaMashiach.
I know.
You
can have help.
Because only a few more years.
So why do you say that? Well, you don't know the case.
That's a Gemara.
Yep. But if Yaakov Avinu didn't know, okay, so Gemara's going to tell you.
We don't know. We just know how long there is to come. But we can't predict it. I don't know any more than that.
Who says? What if that day is tomorrow morning? Are you going to be in discussion tomorrow morning? I don't know. What I'm saying is, you're going to say is, you can't say Yeshua's going to be saying Hashem.
He's coming by the 6,000 years.
He's coming here by the 6,000 years. Oleinu l'shabeach l'adoin hakoil al-kein nekav l'chom. Another Ashkenaz swear. But that's the idea. It doesn't change what we need to do. An iota. But it means that we have to constantly have the kivisi l'Hashem. But the point is that he was making was that there were previous generations where in a certain way it was easier to anticipate Mashiach. Because when things aren't going well and you see all of the suffering that's going on, so that's what everybody turns to and everybody says, we want Mashiach, and we cry out to Kaddish Baruch. The problem of our generation, probably more than any previous one, is that we're so comfortable. Like, well, what does it mean even to hope for Mashiach? Like, what do we want? Don't we have everything?
No.
So that's a big nisayon that we have, and something that we need to think about. So just to summarize, I think it's a very interesting idea that we covered today. that we spoke about Kriya Shema, and we started off with a mission that says, Anshi Yericho were crazy. They didn't say Baruch Shem. We said, wow, what a bunch of kofrim. And then we stopped to think about it. We said, actually, I think that makes more sense. Why in the world should we say Baruch Shem, Baruch Hu Seolam? Well, what's not in Shema? It's Varma Eile. How could you add things to Shema? And then we saw that the Gemara says, no, we're supposed to do with what Yaakov, why in the world would we want to do that? So Rav Shapiro said, well, he didn't say it in this way, this is the way I'm saying it, is that it seems like the way that the tzura of our acceptance of the Achdus Hashem is formulated is Shema Yisrael, that we're supposed to integrate that moment, that we're supposed to put ourselves back into the moment, so that when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem and Kedesh HaMechod, we feel like we're actually speaking to Yaakov at that moment, and maybe we're suspect. And maybe Yaakov is saying, do you really feel it? Are you really here? Are you there? Do you feel the Achdus Hashem? Do you see all the disparity and evil in the world? Are you feeling the Achdus Hashem?
Are you saying Achdus Hashem or Achdus with your siblings?
Achdus Hashem. Mm-hmm. The siblings go with it because that's what we're here to do. So we're in shul doing it, and we're doing that also. But Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is a reference to the Achdus Hashem. So then, if that's what we're putting ourselves back in the moment, how could we not remind ourselves what our father Yaakov said back to us? And remind ourselves, he said, Baruch Shem, Kvar Mechul Seolam, let's do it. Let's express the name of Hashem. Let's create the Malchus of Hashem in this world. Let's do it. But the problem is that what did we want to do at that moment? We wanted to be able to take this to the last step. We wanted to bring Mashiach with all of this. And that's when Nistalka Shechina, that's when Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're doing the right thing and I'm proud of you. But you can't force my hand. That's going to be when that's going to be. So then what do you want from me? Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. That's what we need to do. We need to constantly hope, we need to constantly think, and we need to constantly remember that this world is not perfect, this world is not so comfortable, the world is not the way it's supposed to be, and we need to constantly hope to Kaddish Baruch Hu even in our comfortable places in Muncie, New York.
I could be wrong,
yeah.
But I think the first person the Medrash ever brings down saying Shema is Yaakov.
Because with Yosef, you mean?
With Yosef.
Maybe. Maybe?
Yeah, that's true. Therefore, they're emulating what Yaakov did versus just saying...
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough.